Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Connor Happer, Josh Odson back with you on the Connor Happer Show on a Thursday here on 1620 The Zone and on 1620thezone.com. Let's talk Indiana football with Zach Osterman, who joined us over the summer to get previewed on the Hoosiers. Now they have had a 3-1 start to their season coming off of a loss to Cincinnati last weekend. Zach, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good. Could you... I guess give us the rundown on how it's been so far for Indiana this year. I don't think anybody expected them to go to Cincinnati and win, and it probably that score is not exactly indicative of how they played in that game. Had a close call against Illinois to start, beat Idaho, beat Western Kentucky in a close call, obviously as well. So sort of skated by in the first three, and then a loss to Cincinnati. Has it been about to expectation, above or below, or how would you grade the first four?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of been, not to use a big word, but there's been an anachronistic kind of quality to it, in the sense that on the one hand, after going 2-10 last year, Indiana should be thrilled with 3-1 in basically any form. I mean, even like if the one loss was Idaho, if you'd also beaten Illinois and Cincinnati on the road and all that, like you should still feel good about that. And I think you're even right that the Cincinnati game was basically sort of, in terms of total competitiveness, pretty even, save for about a 4.5-minute stretch at the end of the first half where Indiana just kind of just lost Ted a little bit. And Cincinnati had three really quick touchdown drives. One that was just, I think if I'm remembering right, it was just a one play deep shot, and another one that was off a fumble deep in IU territory that one of Indiana's offensive linemen should have fallen on but didn't see. Other than that, Indiana probably did play Cincinnati about even in that game. On the other hand, if you break these four games, the three wins and the loss, all kind of down into their component parts, there have been long stretches in each of those games where Indiana frankly looked just very poor. They didn't score a single point in the second half against Illinois until their final drive of the game. They were down 10-0 at halftime against Idaho. They needed some late heroics and probably a little bit of luck, a missed field goal and then a blocked field goal in overtime to beat Western Kentucky. And if you've watched these games, there have been some good. For example, Indiana is converting more than 47.3% of their third downs. They've had more explosive plays, certainly in the pass game in particular, than they ever had at any point consistently last season. Some guys, you know, when we asked the question, who's going to step up, who's the quarterback, who are his main targets, all that kind of stuff, guys have really sort of, you know, cemented themselves in those roles. And yet, I can also give you a bunch of stats in the other direction. Indiana is one of the worst teams in the country at finishing drives. They're one of the worst teams in the country at scoring on drives that advance inside the 40. Connor Vaislak leads the country in pass attempts, but is 13th in the Big Ten in pass completion percentage and quarterback rating. So it's on balance, Indiana's probably a little bit fortunate to be 3-1, but at the same time, when they've needed to make those plays, when they've needed to show up and turn it on, more often than not, they've been able to. Now, I think moving into October, the question is basically just, when it's nothing but Big Ten games left, can you find that consistency, right? Or are you going to be kind of dancing at the knife's edge week after week?
Well, I think the tempo piece of it will be really interesting to watch, because they are way up there in terms of how many plays they run, and can you do that against Big Ten teams that are maybe trying to slow you down? The first thing, I mean, one of the first things that stands out to you about Indiana so far is, you know, Tom Allen, a defensive-minded head coach. Their defense You know, it's near the bottom of the Big Ten in just about every major statistical category at this point. Does that have more to do with the pace and tempo on offense and the positions that the defense is being put in? Or I guess, is that sort of by design with Tom Allen sort of knowing what he has? I guess, what do you take away from the defense's performance in the first few games?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's kind of choose your own adventure. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, if you look at raw numbers, particularly, you know, let's say pass defense, you know, yards per game allowed, total yards per game allowed, rushing yards per game allowed, et cetera, Indiana hasn't been great. On the other hand, and it's not like Tom Allen's just going to sit there and say, I don't care how many yards we give up. I suspect Tom Allen, if you were talking to him about the structure of his defense, would be quick to point out that Indiana is sixth in the conference in sacks, one of only six teams with double-digit sacks.
Yep.
I think they are something like third or fourth in the conference in turnovers gained, or what, you know, whatever phrase you want to use.
Yeah.
They've been solid in tackles for loss. That's how this defense is kind of designed. It's designed essentially to limit big plays and to make disruptive, or what I think we've taken to calling, havoc plays. And most of the time when it's needed to, it's been able to do that. Now, again, going back to Cincinnati on Saturday, there were some really, really big chunks in the first half where it sort of felt like Indiana basically was just daring Cincinnati to try and beat them deep, and Cincinnati did. And to Indiana's credit, they made some adjustments at halftime, and they didn't allow a single Cincinnati point until like a really late drive where Indiana turned the ball over on downs because they had to go for it on fourth down deep in the fourth quarter, just trying to keep a comeback bit alive. But Cincinnati maybe was a little bit alarming, not just for total number of yards. I think Tom Allen will always be able to sleep well, even if his team is maybe giving up some yards. It's more the explosive plays. And if you look at the season in general, Indiana is, you know, kind of at the back half of the conference if you look at long scrimmage plays allowed. And Indiana's best defenses, going back to 2019, 2017, I'm thinking about the ones under Tom Allen in particular,
yeah,
have tended, you know, 2016, his first year here, have tended to really limit explosive plays. And that's been a big part of their success. It's essentially just, you know, between the, you know, inside the 30, stiffen up a little bit, create those havoc plays and take advantage. And so even that has kind of been a mixed bag. I think the surprise has been, and I don't know if the tempo necessarily affects it. It might a little bit, but I think that the sort of more fundamental surprise has been, we probably would have expected some of this inconsistency from Indiana's offense, new coordinator, couple, you know, three new assistants, new starters at quarterback, at wide receiver, at running back, at tight end, a couple spots on the line now affected by injury. But on defense, Indiana actually got healthy and got a lot back from basically the core that in 2019 and 2020 got Indiana to back-to-back bowl games. Not everybody, but a lot of really important pieces. So I think it's been a little bit more surprising to see the inconsistency on defense, where Tom Allen is calling plays again, than on offense, where we kind of could have expected Indiana to be a little rough around the edge.
That's really interesting. It sounds honestly pretty similar, and when you break it down to the more minutia pieces of it, to what Nebraska has, you know, defensively just hasn't quite been there. You look at offensive playmakers, you're dealing with a new quarterback in Indiana's Connor Bazelak, a transfer in, and Shivers, running back, transferred in from Auburn, and a wide receiver in Camper, who's leading the way, and he's a junior college guy. Nebraska has a really similar setup with their main guys on the offensive side of the ball. Their defense has struggled as well. I guess that part of it's interesting to me, but those three guys in Bazelak and Shivers and Camper, and you had to at least wonder what they were getting out of them when they sort of arrived and they were going to be taking these spots in the Indiana offense. How's it been considering the sort of expectation so far?
Yeah, I think in particular, I mean, again, Bazelak has been certainly better than what Indiana had at quarterback last year, and some of that was obviously affected by Michael Penix's, you know, just sort of injury history and everything around that, and then sort of the way the offense kind of collapsed on itself. Again, he's not been perfect. He's also not been helped by an offensive line that's probably been below par, and that offensive line you know, returned a lot of guys from a year ago when it wasn't very good. Now a couple of those guys are hurt. I think one, Zach Carpenter, Indiana starting center, could be back possibly on Saturday. Another one is out for the year with a torn ACL. But in general, I think Bazelak's been good. I think guys like Cam Camper and Anderson Kobe, some of the new faces they have at wide receiver, have been really promising. Obviously, Camper's been the most prolific of those. I think he's third in the conference right now in receiving yards. And if you look at his numbers, he's got like basically almost twice as many targets and more than twice as many catches as anybody else on a team that I think seven different players have at least 12 targets now, because they move so fast, they throw the ball so much, they run so many plays. The run game, and so it's not kind of specific to Shivers or Josh Henderson. The run game is frankly a bit more of a work in progress, and that is largely because of the offensive line. It's also, not to get philosophical about it, possibly a little bit because Tom Allen is happy with offenses that really pass more than they run. And he always talks in the offseason, like any coach does, about being able to run the ball more effectively. And then Indiana gets to the season, and they're right up there with everybody else in the teams in the league that throw the ball the most annually. He's had four different offensive coordinators, and that has never really changed. And so it kind of lends you to believing that Indiana wants to be a pass-first offense in a lot of situations. But even that, it's had some really good moments. It's had some frankly pretty bad moments. And I think if you're Indiana, you're trying to figure out where that, you know, sort of that happy medium is. And facing a team like Nebraska that obviously has struggled in some respect against the past, this might be the kind of weekend where you, if you're Indiana, you need to be able to take advantage of some of that.
Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star with us. We talked about it in this context over the summer, just where this game falls on the schedule and how important it is for Indiana and their sort of crack at bowl eligibility, if not more than that. It still feels like it sits that in that place. How important would a win be on Saturday for them? And we're still trying to figure things out from this side of things. I don't know if Nebraska is going to go to a bowl. Doesn't feel like Nebraska is going to go to a bowl game this year, so maybe not quite as important to them as it originally was, but still a big one to get off on the right foot or try to get off on the right foot with an interim coach and go down the line that way. I guess, how does Indiana sort of approach this game and in the grand scheme of things?
You know, I mean, obviously everybody, forever will tell you it's next game. I mean, Tom Allen, one of his favorite cliches is the most important game is the next game because it's the next game. And everybody's always going to say that. Indiana season kind of breaks up into these sort of comfortable chunks, and you know, September was basically about you need to find a way to get at least three wins out of Illinois, Western Kentucky, Idaho, at Cincinnati. November is going to be Penn State, at Ohio State, at Michigan State, and then the bucket game at home against Purdue. October is at Nebraska, Michigan, Maryland, at Rutgers. Indiana will probably be, at least as things stand right now, they'll be underdogs in basically every game they play from here on. But if you look at the next four games, they are certainly more manageable, maybe Michigan notwithstanding, than what Indiana's got waiting for them through most of November. I think Bill Connolly has Indiana as about a 5.5-6 point underdog in this game. He's got Indiana right about 4 points at Rutgers. If you're Indiana and you do genuinely believe you're a bowl team this season, and I can make an argument in so many ways because of Indiana's inconsistency, I can kind of make compelling arguments to you for and against that case both. You probably need to find your way to winning Saturday.
Yeah.
And not necessarily because this is the game that clinches it, but more because you could really, really do with, at absolute worst, being 5-3 at the end of October and not needing more than one win out of November, which looks exceptionally difficult. That's where you get three of your four games against the Big Four and the Big Ten East. Two of those three are on the road. Purdue has been kind of hot and cold this season, but the bucket game is, like a lot of rivalry games, can always throw up a weird score. And obviously Purdue's been a little bit more successful in the last couple of years, or maybe year plus, than Indiana has. I'm not saying that Saturday is just an absolute season's over if they don't get it must win, But this is the kind of game, despite the fact that it's on the road, despite the fact that it's in a tough environment. I know it's another sellout this weekend in Lincoln. If Indiana is going to genuinely push to return to the bowl field this season and just kind of move on from all the disappointment of 2021, especially when you consider that, at least on paper, Indiana, there are some ways that Nebraska can probably leverage some of Indiana's weaknesses, but there are also some pretty clear ways that Indiana can leverage some of Nebraska's. I think Indiana's got to look at this game as one that is almost just sort of pull out all the stops, do whatever you got to do. And then obviously you can afford to just kind of put your best foot forward next week against Michigan at home on homecoming and, you know, let the chips fall and then gear up for Maryland and Rutgers toward the end of the month. But three of these next four, obviously, if Indiana, you know, swept them clean, they'd be bowl eligible by Halloween, and all this would be academic. But because this team has been so inconsistent, even as it has, to its credit, been winning, you sort of look at these games and say, Indiana really needs to find a way to win these, but you don't know how confident you can be in it, because there have been moments when you think Indiana could absolutely be the kind of team that could win three of its next four. There have also been moments when, frankly, Indiana has been the kind of team that could lose three of its next four, including Saturday's game.
Yep, no doubt. Big game for both sides. Zach, we appreciate it. Enjoy your trek out to Lincoln. I assume you're making the trip?
Sadly, I'm not this time, which is a bummer for me. I've never done Lincoln for football. Obviously, I've been for basketball. And, you know, jokes aside, that is always going to be a pretty substantial, you know, gap for us in terms of we're never going to miss a basketball game, but every once in a while, we've got to make some hard choices on football, which is a bummer because Nebraska's one of those. I've never done Nebraska and I've never done Ohio State, surprisingly, despite the fact that I've been on this beat for close to 15 years.
Yeah.
Those are the two that in the league that I would really, really like to see. I guess Wisconsin too. Now that I think about it,
well, I can give you
all the Big Ten basketball travel recommendations you need. mostly, it's just stay inside. It's freezing cold in the Big Ten.
You know, then it's a long trip out here from Bloomington to Lincoln. So, you know, it's a good game day environment. It will be, you know, a night game in Lincoln, but the long trip maybe not the worst thing in the world to be missing out on. All right, Zach, appreciate the time as always, and we'll chat soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That is Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Indiana is such a fun. It's so funny because it's like it's bizarro Nebraska. Yeah, you know, probably just not going to send some guys out for a couple football games this year. We got to make, you know, it's on the budget. It's like, what?
Yeah.
And then we think, well, we do that for basketball every single time. Mm-hmm. Nebraska media outlets will do that for basketball.
That's a good analogy, actually.
Every single time. It's bizarro Nebraska.
Yeah.
And that will be on full display on Saturday. Both teams really, really desperate. And Indiana might have some more desperation, honestly.
Got to have it on both sides.
Got to have it. All right, we'll come back. Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald up next on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.